This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona.
And I'm Emily Thompson, coming to you now from New York, New York. And you're listening to a special jumping edition of Horses in the Morning on Horse Radio Network for October 6th, episode 1270, brought to you today by S Equestrian and Babington Mills. Good morning, Horse World.
Oh my God. It's Tuesday.
It's top-class show jumping at the very best.
Every horse is different, and you've got to be able to understand and read each different horse.
Remember, we're looking for those clears in this round to go forward to the jump-off.
You can't ask for anything more. It's just pure theatre.
And happy Tuesday. I love Tuesdays with Emily. How are you?
I'm good. I know I love him too. I miss you during the month. And Glenn, not to butt Glenn out. Love Glenn too. But we have fun, us girls.
I know. It's really fun. Glenn's like, do you want to do the jumping? Yes. Yes.
We're in.
I'm in.
Oh, I know.
You're in New York, New York. Is there anything more awesome than New York in the fall?
You know, it really is beautiful. I'm conflicted. It's beautiful. it's like a postcard. I love it. But man, it gets cold. The wind and I guess it's a little bit psychological because you know, like, oh no, it's the beginning. It's gonna get worse, you know. So it could be like 50 degrees and you're like dying. But no, it's good. It's cool. I'm actually not riding for a couple of days. The horses are resting. We're gonna ship south. And I'm down here in the city doing a little S Equestrian. We've got our show coats that are finally ready. We're doing custom, so this is more of a size run and examples, not necessarily for sale as stock pieces since we're doing made-to-order custom, but we just picked them up yesterday, and we got all kind of cool buttons, and I'll post later on Facebook and Instagram. But yeah, we're super excited.
Well, I've been seeing some of them come out, and they're just awesome. Just awesome.
They're like, you'll see when I post the pictures, it's funny because I know a lot of companies offer, they have a few wild colors, but they mainly offer the regular base colors. But we have almost 17 colors to pick from, and our size runs for men's and women's. I mean, it's like the Crayola crayon package. There's so many different colors. I was like, this is awesome. That's what I want. I don't want to wear black and gray every day.
No, and that's the cool thing. I mean, we talked a little bit about your rider that was wearing the purple show coat.
Right. And,
just awesome. So can you wear, this is just a side question, because in eventing, you have to be very strict with your colors, and in dressage especially, you really have to be strict. Can you wear any kind of color in the jumpers?
Yeah, you totally can. Not in the equitation or the hunters. You know, they definitely have some guidelines. They want a dark jacket, and there's a few, you know, okay, people can get sometimes away with a light gray and a few things. But yeah, in the jumpers, you do whatever you want. It's awesome.
You've got red and blue and magenta and fuchsia and hunter green. They're so, so cool. They're so, and they must just really pop when you see somebody on course with one.
They do, which I think is fun. You know, I mean, there's a lot of people, a lot of horses and riders out there. I mean, why does everybody have to wear black and brown and gray? And you know, as far as a spectator, somebody coming into the sport fresh and seeing a sea of people wearing the same outfit from like the 1800s, nobody wants that. I don't like it.
You're revolutionizing the world of equestrian dress. I love it. I do love it because you're right. It's boring. And I think, I mean, how many people have said, we need to fix this, we need to fix this, and nothing ever gets done. So you're actually making those changes, and you're actually probably going to bring more people to the sport of jumpers. Because I know that a 15-year-old girl does not want to wear the stupid old outfit. They want to wear something fun, and they can wear it in the jumpers. So get it and go.
Exactly. That's the idea. So we'll see. But yeah, check it out later. I'll post later this afternoon because I got them here right beside me. They're looking pretty cute.
Very cool. Well, Jennifer, we'll talk to Jennifer about what's coming up on today's show, and then we'll get back to, I want to talk a little bit more about being in New York this time of year, and you're traveling down to Florida soon. Jennifer, what's on today's show?
All on today's S Equestrian Jumper Show by Babington Mills, we've got Jen Blumenthal with the latest from all the big shows in her ringside report. Next, Denise Wilson has her favorite training exercises that can be applied to all different levels of training for your horses, because lots of us have barns with more than one style. And Luann Smith has the Equestrian Corner product of the month. And our featured fantastic Irish accent this month is Kevin Babington himself. He's here to tell us about Bed Edge, which is a product that looks like it's going to turn the shavings industry on its ear. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Very cool. Well, Kevin Babington, how awesome that he's coming on. And he's going to talk about something that actually we talked about on Horses in the Morning a while ago, because I just think it's such a great product, and that is the straw bedding. But we'll get to that. So, Emily, you're heading south very soon.
Yay. I'm so excited.
So is it that you're leaving the cold that you're excited about, or is it that you get down to this kind of horse show lifestyle that you only get in the winter? What are some of the biggest draws about moving south?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely both things. For sure, the cold is, it's hard. I mean, it's hard to work in. It's hard. I do baby horses. You just don't even want to mess with them when it's cold and windy. So there's that factor. But then also, yeah, it's just that time of year. We kind of, after the summer is so active, and there's a little bit in the fall, and then it just, unless you're gearing up for indoors, which I myself do not have anything showing it indoors, it becomes a little bit of a lull. So there's sort of this, withdrawal feeling, almost like, the horse show season's over, and you kind of take it back and work on the horses at home, start body clipping, which is never fun. And then a couple weeks later, it's time to get on down to Florida. And the people that show on indoors, they go and they travel the indoor circuit. But come November, pretty much everybody's down there, which is a lot of fun. And mm-hmm. the competition is so super. You get to see all these great horses and riders. And yeah, it's kind of both of it. And I've also got a few horses down there that I don't get to see the rest of the year. So I get excited to go hang out in the breeding paddock with the babies.
With the babies. And I noticed, I did see on your page that you were teaching a baby to load in a trailer and doing a great job.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, we had a little help. The husband had to help me earlier in the week. It was not easy. It took a while, but then he was funny. Once he got it, he was like, oh, okay. And then he's like a trick pony. Just jump in, jump out, jump in, jump out. Sure, no problem. He's pretty easy going, but.
Was that 20 hearts? Who was that?
That is Hipster. That is actually the little brother of the black stallion that I had going the last year or two.
Yeah. Okay.
So he's only three. Same papers, same mother, same father. He's also a black stallion. He's got the little white markings. He's cute. But he's got to learn. He's got to learn to get on the truck. I think we are going to bring him down to Florida this year so he can just keep doing just little basic training, groundwork, and things like that. He's got a little growing up to do still. He's quite small, although the mother was small too. I put the stick on him yesterday. He's 15.5. He's not going to be huge. The mother was only like 15.25, maybe 15.3. So that's what I keep telling people. They're like, Emily, this horse is ridiculously small. He's not going to do anything. Like, no, his mother was too. You had to give him a chance.
Do we need to come up with a long list of amazing jumpers that are 15 hands? Because we can.
I know it, right? Stroller. There's so many
you could come up with. So we'll comprise a list. And there you go. Somebody says he's small, you just pull out that piece of paper and hand it to him.
Right.
There you go.
Feel like that.
Oh, man. So he's doing great. And then you've got another one training well.
Yeah, we've got the older guy who's a little bit of an investment development horse. He is only 6 years old, so he's young, he's green, but he's a cool dude. He's got tons of scope, and he's really going well, so we'll see where he settles in. He's a bit behind his peers. He's not going to be jumping the six-year-old classes this year or probably the seven-year-old next year, but he is moving up the ranks. So we'll see how he settles in down there in Florida. He's relatively new. I think we've only had him maybe like 2 months. So I think it takes, I mean, like, even if you're working really, really hard and all in every day of your riding week. It takes a long time. I think there's an article I read where McLean Ward was talking about. It takes like 6 months really to gel with your new horse when you have a new one in the program. So we'll see. We're just taking it slow with him, but he's been great. He's lots of fun to work with. Easygoing guy.
It may take you 6 months. I'm at about 4 years.
It feels like that though, right? I mean, me too. I mean, you hit 6 months and you're like, ah, you know, I kind of, oh, that's right. He does this in the right turns, or he's like this to the water. It just takes time and you need to give it time. If it's a quality horse and it's got all the tools, you just take your time.
Yeah, I think it takes that much time for you to just kind of know what he's going to do and when he's going to do it. That's like that 6 months time to like kind of talk to them in your head, you know, and know what they're going to do before they do it. So you guys have been doing a lot of the custom shirts, and I saw that you are doing the entire team of FSU.
Yeah, we have. If you go on our Instagram page, it's ECE Equestrian. You can see a lot of the photos over the last couple of years. But we do. We are the official show shirt of the IHSA, and we do these college teams. And I mean, it's fun. We've done a lot. We've done Colgate, West Point, FSU, the Gators. They're really cool, and you get your own logo on the inside of the collar. They come out very sharp. It's all digital screen printing, pre-washed. It doesn't bleed. They're the same people that do like Nike and Adidas and these top lines, Under Armour. And it's for the IHSA and for the college teams, also IEA, we do some high school teams. You can get the design of the shirt without the snaps on the outside, which is more conducive to the equitation and all of this, which they really like. Now, for the A circuit, you'll see we have quite a few barns and other people who wanted to order with the snaps. So you can get either, or you can get the A circuit line with the snaps, then they're Pantone matched to your colors. I don't know if you saw the Fox Hedge Farm ones.
They're,
are so
that's
cute.
My favorite. The purple. Their purple foxes is their, I guess, their logo. And then it has all the way down just a matching purple button. It's so cute. I would even if I didn't have it, would want to wear that.
Oh, I know. I feel the same way. I'm like, I have no loyalty. Everyone that comes through, I'm like, I want to make an extra one of my size. Rock all the team shirts. I have no loyalty.
Definitely.
But now BJ is the owner of Fox Hedge Farm, and she's also the proud owner of the purple coat.
Oh my gosh. So the purple coat goes with the purple snaps. Oh my gosh. I love it.
It's cute. It's really cute. So yeah, we'll get some more pictures up, but you know, it's been fun. It's a great thing. And we're actually building right now. We're going back to production on men and women's. So it's only an 8-piece minimum. People can call in, and it's very simple: email, message, whatever how you can get in touch with us. You can just provide your logo, a size breakdown, and it's that easy. So the men's are the long sleeve with the punch through button on the collar, which you can change the stitching just like you can change the buttons on, or snaps rather, on the women. So you can color coordinate with your liner and your stitching. Uh-huh. And it's a great way for marketing. It's great team building, of course, for the IHSA, IEA, these college teams and high school teams. People, they order, you know, 20, 30 shirts at a time. You know, they're more large team orders, but people don't really realize that you can actually get a smaller order in whenever we're going to production like this. So you guys, if you have any thought of getting custom team shirts for yourself, your barn, your business, find us on Facebook, ECE Equestrian, or online. We're ECEEquestrianco.com, and you can place your order. It's very easy.
I didn't know that you could get a minimum of 8. Like that's actually a doable for a lot of people that show with a bunch of their friends, even. If you have a little local barn and you're loyal to your little local boarding stable and you all want to get shirts, that'd be so neat. I mean, I think I need to start putting together a flyover farm logo shirt.
So fun. They're just, and it feels good when you have the whole group in them. They're just adorable. And we get all the pictures of the teams competing together, and when they're buttoned up, you can't really tell unless you have the colored snap. You just have a little pop of color. But when you open up that collar, it's like, oh my gosh, there's your logo and everybody's wearing it.
Yep. Pop that collar. Showed off. I love it. Well, we're going to get our first guest on the line here in just a second, but I've got a question. Being a amazing jumper rider that you are, when you go down to Florida and there's all these great professionals around, do you train with anybody? Do you take lessons with anybody, or are you kind of the one who's teaching everybody?
I do some teaching, and I also will grab help from different people. I try to get a little bit from, not everybody, because not everybody is great, but a handful of people, that I'm like, okay, like Kevin Babington, we have a horse in our barn right now of his, and that's somebody that will pop in and grab some advice, maybe grab a lesson. It depends, it also really depends on your horse, because a lot of mine are very young and it's just not, it's apples and oranges. Nobody's talking about how to ride the perfect bending line or, how to get to the water. You're like, can you get on the horse? Are you getting on the horse? Okay, fantastic. Yeah.
So you can hold his head.
Yes. You've done it. You have successfully mounted the horse.
All right, okay, good lesson.
Catch back up later. Yeah, exactly.
Wrap it up.
But when we have horses, when there is something that's suitable to be able to get that sort of knowledge, absolutely. I think you can pull a little something from everybody, and it's the way to go. And right, that's what I love about being down there. Everybody's there. All the top riders, in my opinion, are there.
That's cool. That's very cool. I guess it depends on, kind of where you're at. I know a friend of mine was saying, hey, well, I can get a clinic. And I was like, I only have a Mustang to ride right now.
Well, oh my gosh.
He does look great, but he doesn't need a Grand Prix dressage clinic to go do. He's learning how to trot in a circle. All right.
Yeah, exactly. That's like where I'm at too. You're like, okay. I mean, we want all the information. It's not that we don't want it, but we can't actualize it for probably another 4 or 5 years.
Exactly. Well, hey, your first guest is on the line. We're going to get back to this in a little bit. That's so funny. But why don't you bring Jen on and let everybody know what she's talking about.
We have one of our regulars, a good friend of mine, Jen Blumenthal from barnmanager.com, who brings us our ringside news segment. Welcome to the show, Jen.
Hello. I have a cold. I'm sorry, but I'm here.
It's that time of year.
No, I'm not even kidding. I'm like a colicky horse. The weather is hot one day. And then the next day was cold, and boom, I was sick, and it lasted for a week.
You sound so cute sick, though. Oh, my gosh.
She sounds cute anyways.
I know.
Sick. Well, now you were just riding, though. What did I see you last week, or when were we at Princeton?
I think it was a week and a half ago now. So I was at Princeton a week and a half ago, and then the weather hit. I mean, Princeton this week was horrible. I feel bad for anybody who was there. I know they had like a 25,000 junior amateur class, and they had, I just looked at the pictures. I'm happy that I'm not there. No need to be outside this week.
I know. It's going to get better, I think, for the week. But yeah, last week it was unbelievable. And the rain, it just never stopped raining. You finally were like, okay, I've got some of the young horses I'm working with that are living outside still. I mean, even just walking down there, you're like, there's no break in the rain. You just work in the rain for this week. Freezing rain.
I know. But this is the time of year you start seeing the coats come out, the coolers come out, the lattes come out, everybody's walking around with coffee in their hand to keep their hands warm. Capital Challenge just wrapped up. So at least everybody, it was horrible weather down there, but at least everybody was inside competing. Well, I guess not everybody. They do have that outdoor ring.
Yeah.
The lucky one competed inside, let's put it that way.
I did see some photos of that. I was like, oh, these poor people. I mean, just rain boots on, because it's not just rain. It was so cold, the top north part of that storm, I guess. And they were not happy campers out there, I think, in the outdoor ring.
It's the funny thing about the internet. It's demystified so many of these horse shows. Before, you only used to punishment. But now you can go on Instagram, mostly Instagram, but you can go on Facebook too, and their websites, and you can look at to get a feel for them. And then entices people to go to their
Jen, are you there?
She must be in the indoors right now. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh no. Did we lose her?
We may have. Let me take her in the screening room and see if I can't get it worked out.
Okay. Poor Jen, she's sick and has bad cell service.
And she has a cold and she's just probably not feeling great.
poor thing. I know. It was, the weather changed dramatically from the 1 week to this week. I start getting really a little bit of a cold and then I feel like I'm kicking it. But yeah, it really, you do feel like one of those horses. I think when it goes up and down and up and down, you're just like, oh, I just don't feel good. It's no fun.
Well, we're here in Phoenix. Oh, she's back.
She's back.
I'm like a magic trick. Now you see me, now you don't. Or now you see me, now you don't.
Now she's back. Yeah, you were good there for a while. Then it started just breaking up and we lost you.
Oh, just literally, I was just talking and then boop, nothing. I was like, oh, all by myself again.
Okay, well, now you're back. So give us some more info here. Let's talk about our big to-do here in New York.
Our big to-do. So we have, we wrapped the Central Park Horse Show, which was, every year. Actually, the Central Park Horse Show was so funny because the Pope was in town at the same time. So all of New York is on a lockdown, like Central Park West, literally, which is the west side of the park for anyone who doesn't know. They put up these huge fence barriers. Like it looked like Jurassic Park style. I was like, are they going to put some T-Rexes in there? And they had sand and literally no pedestrians were allowed on Central Park West. I think it was Friday maybe. And then because the Pope was staying in the 70s on the east side of town, which was close to where Woolman Rink is, where the horse show is. So I was like, well, what's happening? So basically, everyone who was going into the horse show was on lockdown. Like, once you went in, you couldn't come out. You could not come out until the Pope had vacated the area. There's this great picture on Instagram of, I think it's from the Chronicle, of one of the dressage riders kind of posing, like just sitting on her horse and smiling and looking at the camera. And you can see all the people just chasing the Pope mobile. Like it looks like a wave of people. They're all their bodies are on a slant. And there's this rider just being like, ah, the Pope's in the background with my horse.
Oh my God. I know. I did see that. I was like, oh geez. I was, planning on going because I went last year. I was all excited and all geared up. And then the news started coming out that not only was he coming to New York, but he was going to be in Central Park. I was like, oh, good Lord.
Yes.
This is really serious.
He did a loop of so there's two loops in Central Park for anyone who hasn't been there. And so he drove around in the Pope. Well, I think it was actually a Fiat, from what I heard. I didn't actually see the Pope. I didn't go uptown because to me, that was a lot of traffic that I didn't want to deal with. I prefer, horses and nature. But, it was just so funny because here you are, you have the city going into like a craze because the Pope is here. By the way, he is the cutest looking Pope. And then you have the Central Park Horse Show. Like they're just such contrast. And then I just thought that was great. Daniel Blumen won.
Hold on. I heard too that not only was the Pope there and the Central Park Horse Show, I heard Beyonce was in town doing a
Seriously.
Concert.
I did not hear that, but that wouldn't surprise me.
I mean, come on, how crazy can he get in Central Park? That's nuts.
I know. I was like, I don't think I'm going to make it with all of the insanity. And yeah, Beyonce was there right after. Outrageous.
All the single ladies, God. Come on. Okay, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I was like, I just...
No, I love Beyonce. Like, I was thinking, who runs the world, girls? Who runs the world?
We're all going to start singing. It's getting crazy.
So that horse show, I believe that Connor Swale won the welcome, essentially, and he had just come off of his win at New Albany. So that was great. I mean, that horse show, every year it's getting bigger and bigger. And I think that CBS Sports said that it brought in the most viewership out of all their broadcast equestrian events. So I thought that was kind of a big deal.
That is a big deal.
They
broadcast
like
that. They didn't have live stream though, right?
They did have live stream. I watched the live stream.
Oh, you did? Interesting.
Yes. But they also did broadcast it. So there was live stream and broadcast. The broadcast brought in a lot of viewers, and that's good for the sport because that's going to mean that more TV networks are going to be open to allocating those spots if somebody's obviously willing to pay. And then we jumped right into Capital Challenge, and we're going to, I think USET finals just wrapped up too, and Victoria Colvin came out on top. There was a really great article on Phelps about how they're looking, it's a question of numbers. So it was funny what you were just talking about, you know, nobody cares about how you ride the bending line and just like get on the horse. But here for the junior riders, it's not just about make sure you do the number that is predetermined, jump the course as best for your horse. So if you jump in and you decide you need to add and do what's right for your animal, don't just do it because everybody else is doing it. And that's a big takeaway this year. That's not always been. It used to always be about the numbers. Do the numbers.
Yeah, that is good because you need to have a thinking rider and you need to have a plan that is really tailored for your sport horse. And they're all quite different. I mean, that's how it is. Anybody knows, you watch the big classes, any of these live streams, and you see it done quite a few different ways, and they can all be successful depending on your horse, which really comes back to you've got to know your horse. You've got to know what works and what doesn't.
So that was pretty, I think that's a good step forward for the junior ranks, because at the end of the day, the talent search is a jumper style equitation championship. So if you're kind of weeding out the next generation of jumper riders, it should relate to what they're going to essentially do on bigger tracks and bigger shows when they're jumping on the Grand Prix level.
Yeah, for sure. That's great. That's really good news for the younger crowd here up and coming. We need thinking riders for sure.
And then what else? Oh, so I am obsessed with, I'm embarrassed with her name, especially since I'm also congested, but I had to Google how to say Kaylee Cuoco's name. So the actress from, what's the show?
Big Bang Theory.
Big Bang Theory. I just forgot it. So she has the best Instagram account because she is a full-fledged horse girl. Like, she rides the low AOs in California, and all she does is post videos of, like, her schooling at home or loving on her horse or being at horse shows. There's no references to being a movie star. So it's like this, you know, actress movie star meets horse girl. It's the greatest dichotomy. Like, I'm obsessed with it. And she just showed at the LA Masters, and she did the costume contest, and her and her trainer were Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker, and they had like the music going. And I just need to go to the LA Masters next year. So Emily, if you have a press pass, I'm available next year.
I know.
You and me.
I want to go too. For sure. It's a date. I want to go too. It looks so spectacular. Now, this is only the second year they've done that show, right?
Can you hear me?
Oh, can you hear us?
I can hear you. We're still going strong.
We're still going strong. Yeah, that leg there of the Grand Slam is now just the second year, I believe, right, at that venue?
Yeah, so last year was the first year, and this year, obviously, is the second year. That's redundant. But I love seeing who's coming out, who's showing there. They're putting a lot. I'm sorry if you can hear.
Oh, yeah. She's in the city, too. I was like, who's got the sirens? Is it me? Is it Jen? I think it's Jen.
I am in some the city. Sort of...
Listen, run. They're coming after you.
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
That's
I have to go
for
meet
it.
With the barnmanager.com developers. So I'm on my way there as they talk to you guys.
Oh, my. It's hilarious. That
I'm
is the city background. Oh my gosh. Well, we're definitely doing LA Masters next year. It is so fantastic. Actually, Kevin Babington, who will be on later, had two of his top horses showing there. Incredible. If you can catch the live stream or even Google some of the videos, the courses are huge. The horses are spectacular. It's just such a great showcase of worldwide riders. It's super.
Yeah. And it's really tough because it's a small arena and those jumps are so big and it's a competitive track. For the Grand Prix, I think, you know, the junior amateur classes, those were a little light to keep it fun and keep everybody happy. But the Grand Prix was legitimate.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. No, I love it. Fun. Well, it's a pretty packed fall. here, horse across the country. We've got, and continuing, like you were just saying, we wrapped up USCT finals, but we're cruising right through our indoor finals, which concludes in Kentucky. Is that right?
Yes, concludes in Kentucky. But, you know, going back to the Grand Slam, you also have Scott Brash with his big win. I mean, he brought in $1.6 million.
Whoa.
With the Grand Slam, when he won all three events consecutively. I guess Rodrigo Pessoa and Eric Lamaze had won all three events, but not consecutively. And Scott Brash was the only rider to do it.
He's incredible.
He is incredible. He's actually just a freak of nature. He's just
totally.
He is a horse. Like, horses are his spirit animal.
Yeah, no, it's unbelievable because it's not just on one horse. I mean, he has super sponsors and everything. But yeah, no, it's incredible, and he's not all that old. It's really something.
No, he's 29. He's a kid.
Yeah, unbelievable.
He has a long career ahead of him.
Yeah, no, it is pretty exciting. Well, you guys check it out on live streams if you can, any of these indoors coming up, if you can get any replay on that LA Masters or the Central Park Horse Show that was publicly publicized there on television. So much fun. Really top horses. Great sport. You guys check it out. And Jen, thank you so much for coming on. We will check in with you later and feel better.
Thank you. I'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Bless her heart, little stuffy nose.
I know.
Running down the streets in New York, being chased by the police. Like, I mean, poor girl.
That's New York for you. It's just a matter of time before there's some, like, gaggle of sirens. You're like, I'm sorry, hold on. It just so much, you know, with all the buildings that you're just like, I got to just put you on mute for a minute. I'm going to blow out your eardrums.
I live under an Air Force base, so I'll be on the phone. I'm like, hold on, jet's going over. Hold on. It's the same thing. Wherever you are, there's always something. There's always something. Hey, I believe our next guest is ready, and I'm really excited to listen to you girls just talk about the jumpers and exercises, and Denise Wilson is on the line.
Yay. Welcome to the show, Denise.
Oh, thank you guys so much. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. Up early, up and at 'em.
Yeah.
Jamie's different time zone. So
I was going to say, I'm not congested, but I have lost my voice a little bit. So
if
you guys have a hard time hearing me, just let me know.
Oh man. Yeah. It's that time of year.
Yeah, it's just that time of year with the weather going cold and then hot and then cold, and I feel fine. I just don't sound great.
Oh man. Well, where are you now? You sound okay, but where are you?
I'm in Lexington, Kentucky.
Okay. How's the weather there?
So today it's beautiful. It's going to be about 70 degrees. The sun is out. I base here during the summer and a little bit of the fall. And most of the time you can't beat the weather, and there's no better place for horses.
Especially Lexington in October is the most beautiful time because the grass is still a little green, but the leaves are starting to change. It's just gorgeous.
Yes. We had an absolutely stunning sunrise this morning. The sky was pink and orange and a little bit of purple, and it was definitely something to see.
Wow. It does look beautiful. I've actually never been to the horse show. I can't believe it. After all these years, I got to get out there.
Oh, you absolutely do. And then there's, you know, we have a new show coming up this week at the Split Rock Jumping Tour. It's these new international shows. There's one in May and one obviously this week in October. Looks like we're going to have great weather for it.
Oh, that's great. Those are really taking off. Congratulations with all that. That's exciting.
Oh, yeah. It's a different show. It's special and it's a lot of fun. And as a rider, it's really nice to see a show that celebrates the sport of show jumping and really caters to exhibitors and spectators and sponsors. It's something that I would love to see more of in the States.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the pictures, I was following it a little bit this summer. You had a great turnout, lots of riders, and the course designers, all of it. It was top-notch, really.
Yes, yes. And this is even more of a step up. There's a huge international crowd coming. They sold out of stalls. So it's going to be a really fun weekend.
Oh, that's awesome. I'll have to keep up with it. Will there be a live stream?
There will be. I believe it's on USF Network. That's who did it last time. It's definitely live streamed.
That's great. That's so cool. Well, you would know, we had Denise on a few episodes ago when she was going overseas with the squad, jumping quite a few different locations with her top mounts. So we got to hear about that, and you had great success, which was awesome. And then on the other side of the coin, I know you have a breeding operation at home, a lot of young horses, development horses coming through the ranks. So I thought it would be fun. You guys can check it out, by the way, online. Bluegate Farm is Denise's farm. It's bgfsporthorses.com. You can see what she's got going on. But I thought it would be really fun to hear from you. You've got all of these different levels of horses and development, and you know, you're flying all over the place, going to different horse shows. How do you really find a middle area training-wise and maybe some exercises? Or talk to us a little bit about that with your business and so many different levels of horses. How you find, how are you able to be the trainer, rider, developer for all of these different age groups?
Well, it's a lot of fun, but it is definitely a formula that you have to figure out. You know, one of the most important things having horses at all different levels is having a solid team, behind you. And I have some really good people at home. I have, people that take care of the horses. So if I go to one horse show, say with the older horses, I know that the young horses at home are still getting well taken care of and worked. It's also, scheduling is a fun thing. To try and figure out, because obviously with the different levels of horses, you go to different levels of shows. So, you know, first and foremost, you look at the group you have and you set goals for each individual horse. And obviously all goals have to be flexible as they are animals and not machines, but you have a general plan for each year. And, you know, when I'm at home, I rarely have more than 2 weeks in one spot at home. So I try to stay strict to a schedule and really try to get my work done. And then when I'm gone, I trust the team to keep it going so I can come back and pick up where I left off.
And now you obviously take your top horses on the road. I know you had quite a few down in Wellington, traveling to Ocala back and forth, and doing a lot of showing with them. When you're home and you're working on the young horses, I know you've got the breeding horses in all different ages. When do you say you're kind of ready and decided to take one of these young guys on the road with you?
Well, it's something where you have to listen to the horse and know when they're ready. You know, basing in Lexington is super valuable. The farm I'm at is 10 minutes from the horse park. So when there's shows at the horse park, it's nice to take the young ones. They ship in, they do their job, they come home, they can get turnout. Nothing's ever too stressful for them. And around 7 years old, at the end of the year, I start asking them to step up. You know, as a 7 year old, I like them to be jumping 135. Some special ones will jump 140, at the end of their 7 year old year. And they start getting more exposure and going to different shows. And I start putting a little more pressure on them so they get used to it. And then, you know, their 8 year old year is where they need to start putting their big kid pants on. And I just stepped up a very special 8 year old this summer into some of the Grand Prix. And that's also what, it goes back to scheduling. At the beginning of the summer, I set certain goals, certain Grand Prix that I knew this horse would be ready for at certain points in the summer. You know, he jumped his very first ranking class, which was an FEI 145 at the Split Rock Tour in May. And then I went to Europe, so the horse had a little downtime to decompress. When I came back, he did a lot of 140 classes in July, and he did one 145 in Tryon. And then he went home and he trained. And then in August, he jumped his first big Grand Prix here in Kentucky on a Sunday, and the hard work paid off and he had jumped clean. And then he went back down, took a breath, had a couple weeks off, and then we pushed him again. And we always do a warm up with the young horses. They don't jump big every class. I think that can really play a part in a horse's confidence, because you don't want to challenge them every time in the ring. You want to make sure they are sure about themselves. And like I said, each horse is different. So the most important thing I find is listening to each horse individually and what they need.
Mm. Yeah, that's very interesting. Now you talked about the breaks. Doing young horses myself, the babies, you know, it's no brainer. It's a must. They have to have little breaks. But as they get older, when do you decide that they're due for one? And what is a break for maybe a 5-year-old, a 6-year-old, your 7-year-old? You were saying what does their rest time look like, and when do you really feel like, okay, it's time, he needs a little break?
Well, I think it all kind of depends on the schedule I put. The young 5 and 6 year olds, I don't want to overshow. So I will get them their experience, and if I feel like they have put the pieces together and I'm happy with their progress, they will then take a 2 to 3 week break. They might go to another horse show after that. If they've retained anything or if they need to work on something, they might do another week in a row and then have a break. And really it's hard to tell exactly what, every horse needs 2 weeks, every horse needs 3 weeks. It all depends on the individual mind of the horse, and kind of what your goals are. I have a 6-year-old right now that I find very special. And so now he's had a break for the last month. And he's going to do try on in 2 weeks, but he's going to do open classes. He's going to do an open 130 to prepare for the 7-year-olds. And then he will do try on, have all of December off to stay fit and get his body rested and healthy and strong. And then he'll be able to debut the 7-year-olds in January.
Wow. So he'll have a break after the training before coming down to do his biggest classes of his career to date.
Yeah. Yep.
Nice. And so when they're home on break, do they do flat work? They do training? Is it kind of case by case?
A lot of flat work. I do like to supplement using a Pessoa rig. I find especially young horses that might be a little weak behind can benefit with that, because one, you give their backs a break of having the weight of a rider on them. And if they are struggling to build that strength behind, they might fight the rig a little bit. And then you end up letting them fight themselves, so they don't resent a rider pulling on their mouth while they're trying to figure their balance and strength out. I like to do that once or twice a week. But flat work for me is the most important. You can do hill work, which I'm sure any rider will know is good for, a horse's strength behind. Trotting up hills is one of the best things you can do for developing a young horse's hind end. And if you don't have hills, there's other things you can do. I like to do trot cavalettis, which is something I learned from, I know another person that comes on this show, Reese Koffler Stanfield. And I also like to do other cavaletti work at the canter within the flat work. For me, that's not necessarily jumping. The cavalettis are 2 feet off the ground, and you can really learn a lot about where your horse is in rideability just by putting mm-hmm. 2 cavalettis up and trying to practice going forward and leaving a stride out, or coming back and adding a stride in. For me, when I'm home, I don't always have someone on the ground telling me what to do. So sometimes I have to find ways to check my work and see if I'm doing enough, see if I have the rideability I want. And that's a really easy way to do it without putting too much stress on the horses. And that way I can kind of gauge where I am in each horse's process.
Yeah, that is really nice. Absolutely. Because that's sort of the balance, wouldn't you say, with your horses, as they get older, you've got to, even the younger ones as well, you've got to keep training and keep creating those exercises for them and for yourself, but without all the constant pounding of the big jumps and then the right. pressure and the stress and the horse show ring relief. But, you know, gosh, it takes a lifetime of the animal to really learn all the little nuance of, like you're saying, moving up, leaving one out, settling, adding one. You know, these are all real life situations that they're going to encounter, and we've got to keep just developing. But that's, would you say that's kind of your management as the horses get older, is kind of managing the pounding?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't like to overjump my horses at home. You know, I also want to make sure show and ready. If you're at a show, you shouldn't be training. You should be there ready to compete, with older horses. And so at home, if I have a 2-week break in between shows, I usually do not jump, anything over a Cavaletti, the first week they're home. And then they usually do 1 day of grid work the second week, and then they'll jump maybe a course the next time, or it might be a course first and then grid work before they go to the show. You know, and obviously you set up a grid with each horse in mind. I don't find a lot of exercises should just be cookie cutter. I think you have to really know what each horse needs to learn and needs to work on to get the most out of a jumping session, because it's very important not to jump the horses too much, because you don't want to wear their legs out and you don't want to get them body tired. And so it's just a delicate balance of getting enough work in without sacrificing the horse's health.
Do you, do you mind if I jump in? Do you have a specific kind of outline that you follow, or is it just look at it and see what you're going to do today?
I kind of at each week, I have a general idea of, of which horse is going to do what on each day. And then I always have a general idea of, like, one Grand Prix horse, that I needed to work on oxers out of combinations. I was getting a little, I wasn't quite getting across as much as I'd want to. So I knew in my mind, I was going to practice an oxer, oxer, oxer. You know, nothing huge, but low and wide to figure out how to get him to stretch across. Mm-hmm. And so what I would do is I rarely jump on a Tuesday, because all the horses have off Monday. And I find it very important that the horses are flatted a day before they jump. Mm-hmm. This also decreases a risk in injury because the horses are looser and all of that. So I tend to jump, you know, maybe a little bit Wednesday or Thursday, and then the bigger stuff, or really if I need to jump heavy and train something, I save that for Friday or Saturday.
Okay. Interesting.
And then I have a question. What about when you're gearing up, you're talking about that last jump school, whether it be before or after your grid work, I guess it depends on the horse, but how do you decide what height that school is?
Definitely depends on the horse. It depends on what they're going to show in the next week. And also what I feel underneath me in that moment. If I feel that they're jumping well, they're jumping plenty high, maybe they need to jump a little wider versus taller. You know, I do personally do not jump very big at home. I think it's important sometimes with young horses in a nice, easy situation to teach them to jump bigger. But as far as my older horses, I jump 140, 145 maybe, when they're gearing up. But I do, like I said, I do that rarely and maybe once a week, just to make sure they're honest and on it and all of that. But, I like to save the big jumping for the show.
Nice. Well, this is good. I mean, you're doing an incredible job. You've got a lot of success with a lot of different horses, ages and types.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's been fun, and it's been something I've worked towards for the last few years. So I feel lucky and very fortunate to have the group that I have right now. And I think I'm gearing up for a really exciting winter.
I think you've been working for more than a few years, just so you know.
She's a hardworking girl. Started riding at a young age.
Thank you. Yes.
So we'll hopefully we get to see you down in Florida. Denise actually rocks the equestrian gear, so we're very grateful for that. But tell me, what's next for you? You're heading, do you do any indoors? You have the Split Rock tour. You're going to have another round at that?
I do. I have 4 horses going to Split Rock this week. And then I had to try on for 2 weeks. And I'm taking all of the horses. There's 2 FEI weeks in try on. So it was actually a good show to take everybody to, because it'll be good for the young ones to get in the ring. And I also get the advantage of the international classes for the older horses. As far as indoors goes, I am waiting until Sunday to make the decision about the National Horse Show in Kentucky. It's a big Grand Prix. It's a 4-star World Cup class. And I did get in with Winter, my main horse. But I'm going to wait to see how he feels this weekend jumping the Grand Prix at Split Rock, and then make that call depending on how he feels, whether he goes and just does try on, which is a 3-star, or if he's feeling super and good for the 4-star World Cup.
Well, exciting. Well, we're going to keep up with you, follow you on Facebook, and you guys check her out online, bgfsporthorses.com. You can see what Denise is up to. Thank you so much, Denise, for coming on and sharing all this info with us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always fun.
Oh, we love it. Well, we'll check in with you later. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday.
All right. Thanks. You guys too.
Bye. She's so cute.
Your non-jumping Tuesday. I know. She was like, I rarely jump on a Tuesday. And I was like, I wonder why that is. Huh. And then she explained it and it made a lot more sense. Oh, okay. Gotcha. But I'm like,
it cracks me up that we have our jumping show on Tuesday, because Tuesday is sort of the flat day, because Monday's always off. And then Tuesday, everybody's like, all right, we got a flat, loosen the horses up. But it's perfect for me, because I would be jumping on another day. I'd be super busy.
Nice. Well, we're glad it worked out like that. I'm sure we did that on purpose. Let's say that.
Of course. Duh. Glenn and his genius ways.
So, what do you think? Should we play a song? Do we want to get to our next guest?
I don't know. I mean, we could do either, I think.
Well, I think Luann is ready. So why don't we talk to Luann and we'll play a song, and then we'll get Kevin on for the last bit of the show, because I don't want to make him wait through a song. So we'll just wait to get him on until after our song is done. We'll break up the chit chat a little bit with a little tune.
Perfect. And then,
yeah, there you go. So I think Luann is ready. Of course, by the way, you guys are listening to Horses in the Morning, brought to you today by S Equestrian and Babington Mills. And S Equestrian does have a new website. It's ECEEquestrianco.com. So there you go. Check it all out. Look at it. There you got a dog choking. Talk amongst yourselves.
Oh, is it Lucky?
Oh, no.
No, it's Zinni. She's just got a hairball. Zinniata.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we're moving on. We've got Luann Smith as one of our regulars, our barn girl resident here. She has tried out a new product for us to fill our new product pick segment here. So welcome to the show, Luann.
Hi, guys. How are you today?
We're good. We're good. Welcome back from the EquestrianCorner.com.
Thank you.
Thanks. How are you, Luann? How's the weather where you are?
Oh my gosh, it's so cold. getting so cold, which is one reason I picked what I picked. So unfortunately the cold weather is upon us. So I'm in Pennsylvania.
Oh yeah, it's cold there.
Yeah. I'm not ready for it. It was warm this summer, but I love the warm. So I would rather it stay nice and warm all year round. But unfortunately, I live in Pennsylvania, so it's not going to happen. But
so you've got to have all the good gear. Stay warm.
Right. Yes. Right. Definitely. So I chose the Unifleece Tough Rider breech. So it's a nice breech. It's very comfortable. Yeah. So it's by Tough Rider.
They're so cute.
All right. So I think we're having a bad connection with Emily. So Emily, I'm going to have Jennifer hang up on you and then call you back, and maybe it'll be me. But
okay, maybe it's my my mic. I missed it this time. Normally I unplug before it's a problem. Derailed.
Emily knows
the dog
deal.
Was joking. Yeah. You know. Sorry, I'm back.
Sorry. So, let's start over a little again there. Tell us about the breach that you picked, because you're freezing to death in Pennsylvania.
Yes. I picked the Tough Rider Unifleece breach, and it's a nice breach. It seems like it's going to wear really good. I haven't had it that long, but they're real comfortable to wear. They're a nice looking breech on the outside, but on the inside it has like a brushed fleece, so they're nice and toasty, which has been really nice these last couple of days, and well, probably the last week, because it really dropped into the 50s and at night, you know, colder. But they're nice because they do come in a lot of different colors. I think there's charcoal and black, tan. I know I'm forgetting some. I'm sorry.
Those but, are colors, Emily.
Navy
those
are, and brown too. Yeah, I know. Those are the neutral colors. We want pink and purple.
I know. Well, yeah. But real, a very comfortable breech, and then they're definitely warm. They fit real good under my tall boots, so I don't have an issue. You know, I thought maybe that I would, because of, you know, they are a little bit thicker. So I thought maybe they'd make my tall boots too tight, but they seem to fit pretty good underneath them. And, you know, the Tough Rider brand, they wear real good. Like I said, I haven't had these that long to say, you know, they wear really great, but all the Tough Rider brands that I've had has always worn really well. So I don't see an issue with these either, but they do also have a pull-on or a front. I chose the front zip, but they do have a pull-on both in the knee patch and in a full seat, so which is nice. And the price is good. I mean, the front zip is just under $65. I think they're $64.95.
So,
and then I believe this. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, for a breech that holds up well and keeps you warm, it's perfect.
Yeah, they're cute. And they do have quite a few color options, it looks like, even a tan if you wanted to show in them. So that's
exactly
nice.
You know, with the winter series coming up, I know we have a schedule of several shows from November through January. So that'll be nice, keep the kids warm during the show time in the winter. So that's great. And they still look like, you know, nice show breeches, you know, they don't look like they're just schooling breeches. So that's nice.
Yeah. That's a nice cut. Your teeth won't be chattering next to the person.
I know, right? we need to find some like electric socks, because that's what always gets cold on me when we're showing in the winter. I have several kids that are doing the IEA, and that was one issue we had last year with everybody's feet getting really cold.
Oh my gosh. So. They should allow those plastic stirrups for the equitations and stuff, because those are the guys that a lot of times are showing in the winter, and those metal stirrups just kill you.
They do. I know. I'm actually, I think maybe even next month we'll do, they have a boot that's insulated but still looks like a show boot. I might try those out and see how they work.
Oh yeah, totally. So now on these breeches, yeah. I'm looking at the photo here. The fleece is on the inside, and does it come down past the knee patch onto the area where then the little sock portion gets stitched on?
Yep. Yeah, it comes down to your whole leg.
Wow, they're good looking breeches. I bet the rise looks nice. It's kind of medium. It's not too high, not too low.
Right. Yeah. Yep. They fit just under your waist, but not like the low rise breech. You know, they're nice. They're comfortable.
Nice.
I don't like the real low cut ones. I know a lot of the younger kids do, but you know, I'm older, so,
yeah, girl,
so I don't like the real high ones. So these are like perfect. It's a good rise.
Well, that's the good. Low ones, and I don't know if you've had this experience with them, but I saw some little denim ones online, so I bought the little denim things, and I didn't realize how low rise they were. And you can't pick a hook.
Right.
Like, oh yeah, everybody sees your butt.
Yeah, I was going to say, not without showing something you don't want to show.
I mean, seriously, so I don't know, how do those kids do it, you know?
I don't know.
It's like not for sport. You just think like, why are we making stuff? It's like a fashion.
Exactly.
And yeah, no, totally. And I agree with you. I think if they're too high, then that kind of interferes and isn't comfortable either. There's a nice happy medium, which is good for sport. It's
right.
Not too low. Like, so your shirt stays tucked in too. I know those low rise ones, you're just like, okay, this is like the least practical design ever.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, they are cute. Yeah. So you guys have to check them out. TheEquestrianCorner.com, the ladies' Tough Rider Unifleece. Now, do they have men's or just women's?
You know what? I'm sorry. I didn't check out the men's because I don't have any guy riders.
Yeah, who cares?
All my students are girls. So.
And now, do they have kid sizes?
Yes, I'm on. They are, and they're super affordable too. I mean, you know, as fast as the kids grow now, because I have a 2-year-old and I think that he needs boots and breeches and his father does not agree. But like, they grow so fast. These are actually really affordable. They're about half the price of the adults. So that's super helpful when they grow so quick. They only wear it for 6 months. So I do have those. And definitely check them out if you're in a cold place and your child is like, I don't want to ride, it's too cold. Put on your fleece breeches, shut up and get on.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
That's awesome. Well, you guys check it out, theequestriancorner.com. And thank you, Luann, so much for trying the product and giving us the lowdown.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you next month.
Stay warm out there.
Oh, we'll try. Thanks.
Talk to you soon, Luann. Bye.
Okay, great. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I love her website because you can search via the brand names. You can search for the animal. You can search by the men's or women's or young riders. It's a really well set up. So that's equestriancorner.com. Now we are going to play a song. No, I do not know what that song is. Jennifer, our producer, has it loaded. So let's play that and we will be right back.
Be right back.
Wildflowers in her hair. She can go anywhere on that Palomino mare. She's got Rocky Mountain ivory that she wears around her neck. And the Grateful Dead plays a song in her head. Somewhere between cowboy and hippie, she's all about peace, love, horses, and me. She could end a war with just a smile. She can drive a tractor, baling hay for miles and miles. She says in a sense, grows right out of the ground. She believes in heaven, and what goes around comes around. Somewhere between cowboy and hippie, she's all about peace, love, horses, and me.
that song that he sang about two books with different covers, but the pages are the same. As certain as a river in the spring, you seal a deal with a handshake. That's her philosophy. She can rope and ride, and she likes hanging out with me. She believes that love is the one thing that can't change anything. And she loves me, and that's the part that gets me. She's all about peace, love, horses, and me.
And that is Jared Rogerson, Peace, Love, and Horses. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. The jumping episode is today, and it's brought to you by Ask Equestrian and Babington Mills. And we've got Kevin from BabingtonMills.com, also Kevin Babington. You might have heard of him, on the line right now. Hey, Kevin.
Welcome to the show. Morning.
Thank you.
Morning. Awesome. Here. We're very, very fortunate to have Kevin on. He's one of our top producing international riders these days, rides for Ireland, but based here in the States. He also rocks the Equestrian gear all day long, which we're very grateful for. But firstly, I did want to touch on your horses jumping in the LA Masters. We were talking about the show, the competition earlier in this show, and it's so challenging, all the top international riders, but oh my gosh, your horses jump spectacular.
Yeah, it was overall, a good week. I had one down in the Grand Prix on Sunday, which I was a little disappointed about, but my mare hasn't jumped 160 indoors before, so I was disappointed but pleased at the same time.
Oh, yeah, and she's not that old. How old is she?
She's 10. It's only her second indoor event.
Wow. Yeah, you never know, right? You get in those big jumps in the indoors. How are they going to handle it?
Exactly. It's not for every horse. My other horse jumped really, really well the first day, and then was a bit disappointing the second day. But it's a tight area. The jumps come up very quick. We had the best riders from Europe to compete against. But it was an amazing experience, and it's sort of bringing the sport to the next level.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And you know, that mare, you guys Google, you can get online, look at YouTube, get some replays. Kevin's mare, who I love, is one of my favorite horses of all time. She is unbelievable. Shorapur. And she jumped the million. It's so spectacular as well, which is a totally different kind of venue. Huge jumps. I mean, you just had one down in that class, right?
I did. Sort of an unlucky rail. She jumped fantastic at that show also, but you know, she is 10, but still on the learning curve, and I feel like she can jump. You know, it was good to jump at LA to know that she handled the indoors well, and she can be obviously jump well outdoors, so it takes sort of a unique horse that can jump well in any venue, and I think she's one of them.
I think she is too. That was so much fun to watch. I actually watched the million. It's a little bit of a family operation for Kevin. His wife rides and his two girls ride. And so the girls were there. They're on ponies. Well, I guess they're kind of, one of them's on horses. Marielle's getting tall now, right? She's on horses?
Just started.
But they were so cute. They were up there riding every jump with you. And yeah, they were so excited. I mean, she barely touched that one rail. It was so cool. That's a super combination. You just don't always see it every day. So yeah, that was fun. But anyways, enough about horses. So what I really, really wanted to do, first of all, Babington Mills is our title sponsor. You guys check it out. It is babingtonmills.com. And we've actually had Kevin on once before, ages ago now, discussing the grain. He's got super feed for all different levels of competition, ages, quite a few different blends. And you can see that, of course, online. But what I really wanted to talk about was the betting. And it's not necessarily new. They've had it for a little bit of time. I've bet it on myself with my horses. It is so superior. It is, you can find it, you can buy it. It is so much better for your horse than shaving. So I thought maybe, Kevin, you can give us the background a little bit on your bedding, Bed Edge.
Yeah. Well, funny enough, when I first started the feed bedding business, I started with the bedding, and I saw the product in Europe, the finished product, which is a chop straw bedding that's been run through a chopper, then it goes through a hammer mill. And the reason they do that, you chop it and hammer mill it to open up the node of the straw to make it more absorbent. And then the one thing that we do that some of the companies in Europe don't do, which it makes it a far superior product, is we run it through a dust extractor. So we lose about 12% of the product through dust and fines that we take out, but it makes it an amazing product to work with. So you have there's a lot of advantages. Probably the most important thing, it's easy to work with. You can use a shavings fork. A lot of people like straw, but they don't like working with it. The second most important thing is it's highly absorbent because of the way we process it. And it works a little bit like a kitty litter. So a lot of people really like that because they use a lot less of it. And then the other thing, it's dust-free. So for horses with allergies, for bleeders, for racehorses, it's becoming all of a sudden now we've had a huge interest from the track. And the good trainers are really all over it, and which is pretty exciting. That we were a fairly new company, so we were a little bit slow to approach the track because we didn't, you know, we weren't ready to supply them. But just in a very short period of time, we have huge interest in it because just from a health point of view, it's a fantastic product.
Yeah, the dust is such a factor. I mean, I've worked with both now, and then also in Europe worked with baled straw and a little bit at my home as well. And it is different. Okay, straw in any form, in my opinion, is 1,000 times better than shavings for the health of the animal, the dust in the barn, a million different. You can put the horse away wet, you're not going to get fungus. There's a million different reasons, but for sure, this straw product is better than the baled straw, like you're saying. It is really dust-free, and it's so soft, it stays fluffy. And the horse, the biggest thing I realized with my horses was how much they really did want to lay down at home when you put that, like, they don't do that in the shaving so much, but they were just all laying down, and the poop and everything kind of shifts down to the bottom a little bit, like a kitty litter, like you're saying. So they kind of have a fresh bed there to lay down on all the time. I was shocked to see that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it has all the benefits of straw with the convenience of the working with it. You know, I'm from Ireland. I grew up using straw. You know, there's a system to working with straw. You have to have a straw fork. What I found with my staff here in America, they were so used to working with shavings forks that they didn't feel comfortable working with a straw fork for straw. So there was so much waste. And that's a little bit how I got into it. I was out doing a clinic in Chicago, and I had a friend of mine, an Irish guy. He was chopping his straw, and I loved it, but he wasn't running it through a dust extractor, so it was very dusty. He said they used a fraction of the amount of regular straw. So then I was in Europe and saw the finished product baled, and we bag it like a bag of shavings. We run it through the exact same machine that you would run shavings through to bag it. So when I saw the finished product over there, I thought, okay, this is very different. And so I brought the machines over from Europe, and you know, in my spare time, I'm not quite sure what I was thinking of at the time.
All that spare time.
Yeah. So, but it's something I got passionate about it, and I did all the research, and I researched all the machines, and sort of took a leap, and here I am a few years down the road with Babington Mills.
Oh, well, we're so glad you did it. It is, I think it's going to take off in, well, like you're saying, the racetrack and a lot of these major organizations are going to for sure see the benefits. I mean, the health of the animal is really at stake, and that's what we do. We're doing competition horses, so you want to be able to make sure that the wind is clear, they don't have dust in the lungs. I mean, I do my own stalls plenty, and it's almost unbearable. The people that wear masks are the smartest ones, or tie a cloth around your mouth or something. It just gets to be so much, and you know what? These horses are standing in that 15 hours or more a day. It's too much. So for sure, the quality of care for the animal is superior. But then the other thing that I think is great is that the accessibility. This is a product that, because it comes in the bags, they're the same size as a shavings bag. And now that it's chopped, you really can just transition right over without a huge change in the tools, you know, the forks and all of this that people are using. Tell us, how can people locate this product?
Well, if you go on babingtonmills.com, you'll get the contact information, and so you can order through that. You can order online, or there's a telephone number on there. My sister-in-law is running the company right now, and she's done a fantastic job breaking into the race market. And you know, what I find really interesting about the product, the top horse people in the country are love it. Like, we have some very, you know, Lars Peterson uses it down in Florida, loves it. We have people who actually get a chance that are real horsemen, who really understand that your horse shouldn't be standing in a dusty stall all day. And especially the race people, I mean, they're looking for every edge they can possibly get. But, you know, they have issues with bleeding. And I know you and I talked about it. A lot of horses have sinus issues because of the dust in the stalls. And, you know, I've always, you know, I have a synthetic footing in my indoor, so I don't have any dust in my indoor. And I'm always trying to keep the aisles wet down. And what I found since we transitioned to this product a few years back, there's between the synthetic footing in the indoor and the straw, the chopped straw, we've hardly any dust to deal with, which is huge, you know. And I noticed, like, there's some horse shows that I can't take it to, you notice such a difference when you're used to working with it, and then you go to a horse show and you're forced to use shavings. And you know, sometimes you get nice fluffy dust-free shavings, but 80% of the time you're getting kind of a lower grade shaving that's full of dust. And the difference is huge. Like, we actually, when I brought my horses out to California, my top mare, Sharapur, she's actually quite sensitive to dust. So I made sure we sent enough bedding. I figured I could pick up good hay on the West Coast, so I sent enough bedding to get her through all the shows out there, because I didn't want to have to put her on shavings.
I'm sorry, keep going. So were you able to get all that done?
Yes. Yeah, we packed the peak of her trailer full of bedding. So,
that's awesome.
That's nice. Now, as a farm owner, and I just bought a 12-acre property where we're going to build a barn, we're going to have all this. What I really like about the straw shavings is, as far as a management on a small farm like that, where you're doing it yourself, you can spread the straw and it's not going to destroy all your grass. Is actually kind of good for it, right?
Well, it actually makes a fantastic compost. And if you can stockpile it a little bit, let it sit, it'll break down much, much faster than conventional straw, even because of the process we run it through. You know, it's already chopped. You have a lot more urine and manure in it because you're taking out a lot less. So it actually breaks down. We have a nursery now that takes it from us here in Bluebell. The mushroom farmers will take it sometimes, if depending on where you're located, because you take out a lot less, it becomes a heavier product than your conventional straw. So if they have to travel a far distance, sometimes they get over their weight limit. But nurseries love it. If you spread on your own property, it's absolutely fantastic for that.
Yeah, it's gonna. I definitely I'm looking into it as far. We haven't started the barn yet, but when I do, I will call you and we will do some business because as far as the product goes, kind of talk about the gaining popularity of it. Do you feel like you're right at the beginning? Is it starting to take off? Is this becoming the must have for everybody at shows?
Yeah, well, at my mill, we do our feed line and our bedding. And so I put a lot of emphasis on the feed over the last few years. And because I wanted to make sure I could supply to the customers that were on the feed. So I just had maybe 30 customers that were using the bedding. And then we managed to set the mill up in such a way that we can run the line separately because my feed is a forage-based feed. So we actually chop hay, run it through our dust extractor, and mix the hay with the grains in our feed. And then we add all our oils and our fats. So we had to use the same chopper and the same hammer mill and the same dust extractor for the feed also. So it sort of limited the amount of bedding we could do, but now we've actually come up with a system where we can run the bedding separately. So now we're actually, I have to say, at the moment, all of a sudden we've had some huge orders, so we have to be a little bit careful taking on too many clients at the moment, but the people that are using it love it and are very loyal to it. And I've talked to one show management, they might try to switch everybody to this product at their horse show because, number one, horses for some reason won't eat it like they will regular straw. And it's if you're paying a fortune to have your manure removed from a horse show, you can get people to come in and actually not necessarily pay you to take this away, but it has so many good benefits for landscapers or for composting companies and you can get people to take it away for free, you know. So it has a very green effect. You're not, you know, shavings are, if you spread shavings on your field or try to break it down into compost, it's a terrible product, you know, whereas this is actually, it's a very, very, makes a fantastic compost. So that's, I think, and at the track, what a lot of the people like about it at the track, for shavings, they have to pay per week, they have to pay a fee to have their shavings removed. This can go into the straw bins, and that's free. So that there's another benefit there. So because, you know, the mushroom guys or whoever takes it from the track, they recycle it into compost.
Yeah, that's where this needs to go, because it's like ridiculous. They need to let people either come in on bed on straw like this. I mean, it's so much more manageable in the bags now that you've offered that way of packaging and distributing. It's a no-brainer. You would think, why wouldn't people offer that as the bedding of choice at their horse show office? Like, to me, it's a no-brainer, but that's like the frustrating part, is because we bet on the product, we love it, and it's like night and day when you, but like you're saying, I mean, you're packing the peak with all kind of bags of straw for sure, poor to go cross country, because it really does feel like that. Once you try the product, you see how happy the horses are, how clean they are. Oh my gosh. Like, talk about shavings dust. Like, you know, you can't even clean a brown or black horse. They look ridiculous, you know, this time of year. You can't get it out. But the straw, they're shiny, they're polished, and you almost can't go back. Like, I don't want to go back, and I get frustrated with the going to the horse show like that. You know, you just think, gosh, now here I am at a competition and I'm giving my horse less than top care. And it really does feel that way.
Yeah, that's actually funny you bring that up. That's one of the biggest feedbacks, because we're in Belmont now at the moment. And the grooms were saying it was so much easier to keep the horses clean. And, you know, that they love that. The grooms actually were the ones that really like it, really like working with it. You know, they're actually, you know, obviously handling it every day. But the grooms were very excited about it, you know, because a regular straw, as I said, there's really an art to working with it. But it is a pain. You know, it used to frustrate me to no end when I'd watch the guys mucking out my stables every morning. The amount of good straw that was getting wasted would drive me crazy. And I would try to train them how to do it, you know, and there's different type of combines that make conventional straw. Some of them cut them to 18 inches long. Some of them cut the straw to 12 inches long. So even if you're good at working with straw, you still waste a lot. Whereas this is, you just use your regular shavings fork and you take out, I'd say, quarter of the amount.
Wow. Oh, yeah, totally. And then, like we've already said it a few times, but it really is, if you have, not all of them, but if you have one that's an eater with the straw, I mean, they'll clean up the whole stall. You know, you get in the next morning, you're like, this mare ate her whole bed again. And they do that. You kind of can't stop them and whatever, you know, they're fine. But yeah, none of ours, we had a few like that, and that was frustrating. And some of the reasons we would go back to shavings periodically, but they just don't eat this. Maybe a little nibble here and there, but it is truly a bedding.
Yeah. And for some reason, and you know, I don't know why, because that one thing I was a little bit nervous about when I started this is I thought they'd be more likely to eat it, but for some reason they don't. Like we had one mare now when we had her on regular straw, I actually used to keep her on shavings because she would clean her stall every morning. It was unbelievable how much she would eat. And then I was reluctant to start her on this, and I did, and she didn't eat it for whatever reason. They don't think it's a feed, you know,
which is awesome.
No, I'm not. I'm sure there will be horses out there that will, you know, but in my experience, or, and we've, you know, we carry 40 head of horses here. I did have one customer call me at one time and tell me that their horse ate it, but the groom was joking me and said, with the hay it was getting, the quality of the straw was better than the quality of hay.
Oh no, that's awful. The truth comes out.
That was the groom's take on it.
Yeah. Oh man, I mean, we had quite a few horses as well, and horses rotating in and out. And they'll like take a little nibble and then, it's not food. They just move on to the hay and that's,
well,
that's
and
really
at the end
hard
of the day, it doesn't do them any harm. All it is forage. It's not going to hurt
right.
them. Like if you buy an expensive bag of, you know, some dengi products, a lot of it is chopped hay, chopped straw with molasses on it, you know? Mm. So you put molasses on cardboard, horses will eat it. You put molasses on this, they'll eat it, you know, and that's, it's not going to do them, the actual fiber itself is not going to do them any harm unless they finish the whole stall or something, but which they don't, so.
No, they don't. Yeah, it's mainly an annoyance in the morning. Oh, yeah. You got to rebed this horse. They've eaten everything. But no, this doesn't. So you guys check it out. It's superior bedding. It is for sure the best thing for your horses. BabingtonMills.com, Bed Edge. Thank you so much, Kevin, for coming on. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed it. Check it out. And I think when you see it, if you have a chance to work with it, I think you will absolutely love it. So.
For sure. Agreed. You guys check it out. We'll talk to you soon, Kevin. Have a good rest of your Tuesday.
Okay. Thanks so much. Okay. Take care. Bye.
I wonder if he's like the kind of guy now that he knows so much, like he knows too much, and now nothing except for his own product is good enough because he's worked. So, you know, you ship out to California. Yes, I had to ship bedding for my horse because they don't have good enough. It's not good enough.
I mean, it totally isn't, though. Like, seriously, you got to just, even at your stable now, you can just order a few bags online and get them and see. Like, that's what I did. I did because I bedded on regular straw. And in Europe, when I went to go to school there in Germany, we're all in straw. And but it was baled straw, huge bales, like big round bales even. But here it's like chopped and in the bag. It is so different. It is such a superior product. I mean, every morning you go into the barn and all of your horses have little dust rings around their noses and eyes. Like, that's not good. Like, that is not good. And when you go and you've got allergies, I mean, I've talked to a few vets and other people have said a lot of times, almost always when they do autopsies on the horses, they see that the lungs and the sinuses are just caked in this dust. That's horrible.
You're just stressing me out right now.
It's awful. Everybody needs to switch to straw. Like, the thing is when you just take even one stall and you say, okay, just for this week and let me just do a little experiment, that horse is like shiny and beautiful in the morning when you get there. Yeah. There's no dust all over it. They're okay. You know, the horses are happy regardless. They're fine. They manage, but it is for sure superior management.
Definitely. Well, again, that's BabingtonMills.com and you can check it out there. And Emily,
our time is almost up. I'm very sad.
I know, it flies, doesn't it?
It really does. It really does. Well, listen, you guys, go check out all her cool jackets on the new website, which is ECEEquestrianco.com. They're so gorgeous. And I'm glad that you're rocking the jumper world and kind of shaking everybody in their boots and doing some cool stuff. And congratulations on all the custom shirts. Those are gorgeous too. You are busy. You're heading to Florida next week. So by the next time we talk to you, you're going to be in the Sunshine State.
I know. I'm going to go hang out with Glenn and Jennifer, check out the Florida crew. Can't wait.
Well, whenever you're ready to come to the West Coast, girl, come on.
I know. I've been following you on Facebook. How are you doing with Lucky and your GoFundMe? Your shelter dog. He's an old man, but bless your heart, you took him in and he looks like such a happy little dude, and he's good with the kids and with the horses. I mean, what a special guy.
He's really cool. For those who don't know, I adopted a really old basset hound who was about 6 hours away from euthanasia. So we adopted him, rescued him. He's got a ton of health problems, but you know what? He's trying. I'm like 14 pills a day, but you know what? He's really feeling good on the 14 pills a day. So something's working.
He looks good.
Yeah, he's doing great. And I'll post another video of him playing because he just runs around like crazy when we get outside, and then he sleeps for 18 hours. So
that's so special. He's got such a change in life now. I mean, I've been keeping up with your posts and stuff. It's just adorable. And he's so happy to be out and living a life. And what a cool dude.
He's doing really great. So thanks for asking. He's great, and I appreciate all the help that I did get on that GoFundMe. It is still being used for sure.
I bet.
Especially with his meds are like $100-something a month. Are you kidding me? Wow. Okay. So anyway, I do appreciate all the help that I did get on that. And so thanks.
Fingers crossed, thinking about him.
Well, thank you. You two have a great time. Start to pack, girl. Get it done.
I know.
And tell that sweet husband of yours we said hi.
I will for sure. I hope he's listening.
He better be. It's his job.
He has other jobs too.
I know.
But that's an important one.
It is an important one. Well, Emily, as always, has been an absolute pleasure. It's again, ECEEquestrianco.com, BabingtonMills.com. And you have a great month. And if I don't talk to you before, I'll talk to you next month.
Thank you. You too, girl. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, everybody, have a great day. Bye, everybody. Bait your gal, jump something really big. Don't jump on Tuesdays. I learned that today.